Women of a certain age got a shock this week as the front page of almost every newspaper carried dramatic news about a widely prescribed type of hormone replacement therapy. Doctors halted a long-term clinical trial of the therapy, a combination of estrogen and progestin, marketed as Prempro, after it became clear that its risks outweighed its benefits. Women taking the medication had a higher incidence of breast cancer, blood clots, and heart disease, although there were fewer cases of hip fractures and colorectal cancer. Dr. Deborah Grady runs the Women's Health Clinical Research Center at the University of California in San Francisco. She was one of the experts who wrote the initial physician's guidelines recommending use of the therapy. She's since changed her mind about how the therapy should be used. We asked her how it was that so many American women came to be taking hormone replacement therapy, not only to treat complications from menopause, but as preventive medicine.
Many women are afraid of going through menopause and what it's going to do to them. We clearly view menopause quite differently in our society than in other societies. For example, Asian societies, where becoming old is a good thing. It means no longer having to worry about birth control. It means becoming wise and revered. And I think in our society, passing through menopause, becoming older, is generally not a good thing for most women. So there is emotional appeal for therapies to try to avoid that.
What convinced you to prescribe HRT?
Well, let's say 10 years ago, there was clear information that it's good treatment for menopausal symptoms, and I think that definitely hasn't changed. But at that time, there was also a lot of information suggesting that it reduced risk of heart attack and of fractures. And at that time, there were probably 35 or 40 observational studies suggesting that women who took estrogen had fewer heart attacks than women who didn't. So all of this was fairly convincing, but I think a lot of us were still worried because the idea here of preventive therapy, that is giving a drug to perfectly healthy people who feel well in the hopes of preventing a disease, is tricky business. We really need to be very sure that it works before doing that, because we have great potential to do harm.
What was different about this study if the earlier studies were observational? What does that mean, an observational study?
What they did was to go out and get a large number of women, ask them if they were taking or had taken hormone therapy, and then compare their risk of having a heart attack or a fracture or dementia to women who had never taken estrogen. And the problem there is that those groups of women are different to begin with. So women whose doctors give them hormone therapy and who choose to take it tend to be healthier, they tend to be wealthier, they tend to have better exercise habits, they tend to see doctors more, and so on. So essentially, it's probably an unfair comparison. So really, the gold standard in research is the randomized controlled trial, in which we enroll women and then we more or less flip a coin to see whether or not they're going to take hormone therapy or placebo. Amazingly enough, there really had not been any large randomized controlled trials with real clinical outcomes. And by that, I mean outcomes like heart attacks and fractures and strokes and so forth, up until 4 years ago when the first large trial of women with heart disease was published.
Now, that does seem remarkable when you think about it, and given how long these drugs have been prescribed, for 20 years at least, why did it take so long?
Well, these studies are generally are the last step in research. They cost multiple hundreds of millions of dollars sometimes. And so you want to have very strong evidence that a drug or a procedure is going to work before you do a large randomized controlled trial. So there is some rationale in terms of working up to this. But nevertheless, I think these should have been done long ago. And why they weren't is it's not completely clear to me.
So who should take hormone therapy? The news this week felt like such a bombshell. Surely it doesn't mean that no one should take it at all? Or do you think that physicians, I mean, I know this is a hard question. I know that lines are ringing off the hook at doctors' offices. But do you think it suggests that far, far fewer women than the millions who are taking it should take it?
Yes, I think it's clear that far fewer women should be taking it. So I would just suggest to women right now that if they're taking hormone therapy, that they ask themselves why they're taking it. And if the answer is because when I stop it, I'm miserable with flushes and problems sleeping, that's a good reason to take it. And if it makes a woman feel better, then obviously she's probably willing to take some risk associated with using hormone therapy. On the other hand, if that woman says, well, I'm not sure why I'm taking it, or she thinks she's taking it in order to prevent heart disease, then she really should discuss it with her doctor. And my recommendation would be that she stop.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that this will, if not revolutionize the way that women look at HRT, at least make them be tremendously more cautious?
I think it will make both doctors and women be tremendously more cautious. I really think the role for hormone therapy will be in treatment of symptoms. But at the same time, those women have to realize that the trade-off for relief of symptoms is some risk with regard to a slightly higher incidence of heart attacks, of strokes, of blood clots, and if they continue the therapy for 4 or 5 years or more, of breast cancer.
Dr. Grady, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Dr. Deborah Grady speaking to us from NPR's San Francisco Bureau.